The Lord is King. He is robed in majesty. He is girded with strength. He is more majestic than the roaring waves and the flooding seas. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in Revelation, we read pictures of all of the saints and all of the angels around the throne of God and singing, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come." There's this picture of this great majesty of who God is. And as Christians, we await a day when God's kingdom will reign completely. When in Revelation, again, we're told there will be no more death, no more dying, no more mourning, no more pain and suffering, but it will all be the way that God intended it, with sin destroyed, with sin no longer here. So even in ourselves, all those parts of ourselves that don't represent what God wanted when God made us, when God made people in general, that'll all just be wiped away. We read this at the very, very end of Revelation. We read this, again, I say we read a picture because it's a word picture of the, it says the New Jerusalem, but really it's just the kingdom of God, this holy royal city of God that comes down from the clouds and takes up the place here on earth. That it's not that this earth is destroyed, but God takes up residence among us here on this creation that he made, this world that he made, because it's not just us who are perfected and made new. It's the entirety of our world and our universe. All of it is made new. That's the kingdom of God, and it's spectacular. And when we go into our time of lament, it's because that's what we want, and this is what we've got, right? And we're so aware of, the not yet. God's kingdom, where are you? God's kingdom, not yet. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Thy kingdom come, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We long for this. We cry out for this. We want this with every ounce of our being. And yet, where is it, God? And every time we read of wars or we see the images cross our computer screens or our phones of what's happening in places like Gaza, in places like Sudan, in places like Ukraine, in all of these places all around the world, when we see these images, our heart cries out, "God, where are you? God, won't your kingdom please, please, please come?" There's a story towards the end of Jesus' life. He had done all his teaching, he'd done everything, and he had been arrested. And he was standing before a guy named Pilate. And Pilate was the guy in charge of everything. And Pilate was the one who had the power to sentence Jesus to death or not. And they had this little exchange. And if you want to read the whole thing, in John 18, but I'm just going to read a snippet of a few verses of this from John 18. And it was Pilate entered the headquarters. He brought Jesus to him, and he said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Because that was one of the accusations that was being made, that Jesus was declaring himself that he was the king, that he was the king of the Jews, which goes against the Roman Empire, right? You can't be the king. Rome is in charge. If you're a king, you're revolting, you're rebelling, you need to be dealt with. And so Jesus answered him, to Pilate, "Are you asking me this just of your own accord, or did others tell you about me? Did others tell you this about me?" And Pilate says, "I'm not a Jew, am I?" In other words, "I wouldn't be asking you this. I don't care. I'm not one of your people. Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What did you do?" And Jesus doesn't answer the "what did you do" question. Instead, he goes back to the kingdom question. And this is what he said. Jesus answered, "My kingdom doesn't belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over. But as it is, my kingdom isn't from here." Now he's not saying, "Pilate, you don't have to worry about me. Just take it easy. No trouble coming from me because I'm visiting from somewhere else. And so it'll all go away when I go home." He's not saying that. He's really talking about the character of the kingdom. You see, if Jesus' kingdom was a kingdom like we have on this earth, Of course his followers would fight, right? Because that's what we do. We fight for the ruler that needs to be in charge, the ruler that we get behind. We take up arms. There's another story when Jesus was being arrested. He was in a kind of public garden, and all these soldiers came to arrest him. And one of his disciples, his name was Peter, one of his disciples happened to have a sword. I don't know why he had a sword. He was a fisherman, but he had a sword, and he whipped it out, and he sliced off a guy's ear. Probably was aiming for something other than his ear. Again, he was a fisherman, not very good with a sword. But he sliced off the ear. He was going to battle because Jesus was the king, and nobody was going to arrest him. Nobody was going to shut down this revolt that hadn't even gotten started yet. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus said, Peter, stop it. He didn't say this, but he may as well have said, that's not the kind of kingdom that my kingdom is. My kingdom isn't a kingdom like the ones here, where you need to take up arms and fight for me, where you need to destroy violently the enemy. That's not my kind of kingdom. And just to make sure his disciples really got it, he healed the guy's ear. He put it back on, however Jesus does that. He healed the sliced off ear because his kingdom is not of this world. If it was of this world, it would look like all of the kingdoms of this world. But the reality is what Jesus is saying to Pilate here, and what he was saying to his disciples as they were witnessing this in the garden, is that my kingdom, yes, I'm a king, but all the categories you use to understand what a kingdom is, all the categories you have to understand what a king is, none of those fit for me. None of those apply to me. And so you can't even recognize my kingship. You can't even recognize my kingdom as long as you're looking through the eyes of the kingdoms of this world, right? How many of us, when we are looking, I know a lot of us have been really focused in on politicians lately in North America, and we kind of look at them and we go, well, that one maybe is a little bit more like Jesus. That one's way less than Jesus, you know, so let's get the ones that are more like Jesus. But it's missing the point completely. Jesus' kingdom isn't made up of politicians doing their propaganda, of politicians who are running parties, who are trying to have their party in charge and have all the crazy that goes on in the House of Commons or in the Senate or various different places. Jesus' kingdom is not like our kingdom in Canada or the American kingdom in the United States. And we don't call it a kingdom, but the categories that we think about political leadership, that we think about governance, none of that fits who Jesus is. So Jesus is saying to Pilate, you couldn't even recognize it because everything about how you look at what a kingdom is or what a king is doesn't work for what God's kingdom is. And so everything that Jesus taught, everything that Jesus said, the way that he lived his life was to show how it was different. This wasn't a king who sat off in his palace over here and ate all sorts of rich foods and was completely out of touch with the common person. This was a king who went and said, you know what, I'm going to go sit over here in this field, and the poor people and the disgusting people and the gross and the marginalized people and the people with no social skills and the people who are the lepers, who nobody's supposed to touch or talk to, whoever, they're the people who there's always going to be room for. And when they don't have any food, I'll give them food. Because I'm Jesus, so I can make any amount of food work for people. And I'll talk to them about how important it is to love, not just love each other, but love the enemy. Man, can you imagine? Can you imagine what our country would be like if we played by those rules? Could you imagine? We might actually watch the goings on in Parliament. Could you imagine if politicians were sitting on Parliament? They sit one party on one side of the aisle, another party on the other side of the aisle, and they fight back and forth, right? They just yell at each other and they troll each other and all this. It's the ugliest display of humanity. Can you imagine if they all went in and said, oh, you know what? We have to love each other on our side of the aisle. They're usually pretty good at that. And we have to love the people across the aisle. We have to build them up. We have to encourage them. What would they do? I don't know what they'd even do in the House of Commons if that was how they followed. But this is Jesus, right? Jesus is saying the categories, the way my kingdom runs, is so different from anything you've ever seen or experienced. You wouldn't even recognize it when it comes. Because here's the thing. Jesus said from the beginning of when he started wandering around and teaching people and talking to people, He said, God's kingdom has come. Not just, hey, everybody keep an eye out because it's coming. He did say that as well. But he also said, the kingdom of God has already come near. Everywhere that Jesus went, it was like the kingdom of God was there. And when Jesus ascended back to heaven, when he returned to heaven and left the Holy Spirit in his place, he established the church, which just means disciples of Jesus, people who'd said, I'm going to follow Jesus to the best that I can. I'm going to abide by the things that Jesus taught. I'm going to gather with others who are followers of Jesus, who I will discover to be my brothers and sisters in Christ. And together, we're going to try and live as if that kingdom is here. If we don't live as if the kingdom is here, we may as well say to everybody we encounter, you can't possibly recognize the kingdom because it's so different from everything you need. But imagine this. Can you imagine if somebody walked into a church and went, oh, maybe I can start to understand what a kingdom might be. That's what drives me to do what I do, to be part of this church. That together we're offering a glimpse of the truth, not just that God's kingdom is coming, but that God's kingdom has come. When we spend time in our prayers of lament, we're spending time focusing on all the ways that God's kingdom has not come, right? On all the evidence of how God's kingdom is not here. But the other side of that coin is that God is here. God's kingdom has come. It has yet to be fully realized, right? Absolutely. But it has come. And all through Scripture, we see what the characteristics of Jesus' kingdom are. A place where the last are first, where the least are valued, where everybody has a voice. I'm mentioning Revelation a lot. It's a weird book if you've never read it. It's a weird book, but there are parts in it that are less weird. And this is one of them. There's a picture painted. It's in Revelation 7, 9. It's one of my favorite verses in Scripture. And it's a picture that is painted of the throne room of God. God is on his throne, and he's surrounded by all of the saints and the elders, and he's surrounded by people from all of the tribes and the nations of the world. So every color is there, every language is there, everything is there. And everybody as one are worshiping God together, crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, together. Because that's what the kingdom of God looks like. The borders are gone. The divisions are gone. The hate is gone. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Ephesians, he said, Jesus Christ is our peace. In him, all the barriers, all the hostilities are broken down. That's what the kingdom of God looks like. And let me ask you, where do you see? If you look at the world, you look at your own life, are there places where you glimpse the barriers breaking down? We hear all the stories, Ukraine, especially Gaza, Lebanon, all of these places of hostility and war and so many others in all the world. But are there places where we see the barriers coming down? Are there places where we see people having an approach to each other, which is an approach of love and service as opposed to power and oppression? Can you see anywhere in the world that you live in glimpses of people loving their enemies, not just their friends and their family? Do you see any of that in the world around you? It's often quieter than the things that we see that are not of the kingdom, right? It's in the quiet corners. It's a conversation that somebody has with the person trying to get warm in a doorway on the street. It's a conversation that happens in a workplace when you discover that one of your colleagues is grieving and you actually take time to hear about the person that they've lost. right? It happens when we discover within our own church somebody is really struggling, and we surround them and we say, how can we uphold you? There was a time in my life when I was only able to see the ways that God's kingdom was not here, to the extent where I was questioning everything to do with my faith, because I was hearing stories of people being hurt, tragically hurt, and I couldn't understand how God could let this be happening, and I wondered if God even cared. I was crying out the lament, but I didn't have the end of the story rooted in me deep enough. And I went to a friend and I said, I am struggling to believe in God right now. And so this sounds weird. There's nothing in the Bible to suggest this, but this is what I did. I said to him, I need you to hold my faith for me right now, because if I keep holding it, I'm going to lose it. And it's not literally, technically, I mean, how does somebody else hold your faith? Isn't your faith personal? Absolutely it is. Don't get too literal on me. But for a time, I couldn't see any hope. I couldn't see any God in it. But knowing that my friend was holding all that for me, so when the rawness of it, the hurt, the pain, the suffering dissipated a little bit, I could take it back and go, yep, God is still good. Yep. Nevertheless, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And God was gracious in that too. If you feel yourself struggling, wondering, God, where are you? Where's your kingdom? God is gracious in that. God isn't sitting there going, have some faith. Get it together. Child, what's your problem? You don't believe in me? Out you go. That's not God. There's nothing in the Bible that says that that's God. If you come to church and you're going, oh, I can only come to church when I'm feeling strong about God. That's, you know what? Only come to church when you're not feeling strong about God. No, come all the time. But because we need each other sometimes to uphold us, to uphold our faith, to carry us when we can't do it on ourselves. And that's one of the beautiful things about being citizens in the kingdom of God. We aren't alone in it. You know when you travel to another country from whatever country that you were born and raised in, and you meet somebody from the same country, how cool that is, how great that is. I see it here, some of you, when you or speaks your language. Carla, I see it in you. As soon as somebody walks in who speaks Spanish, everything in your face lights up and you start all in Spanish. And God help them if they don't actually speak Spanish. But there's something right when we realize that somebody gets it. Somebody's from the same place. Somebody has those same values, the same languages we have. There's something that knits us together, ties us together. Well, let me tell you, as soon as you decide to name Jesus as the Lord of your life, as the King of your life who reigns in your heart, you are a citizen of God's kingdom. And that ties us together, that unites us all together. Whatever language, whatever earthly language we speak, we are God's kingdom here and now. If all we see is hopelessness and no presence of God at all anywhere, it's because we've lost the kingdom of God that starts as a spark with Jesus reigning in our hearts. We got to let that out. We got to let that shine. That's where the kingdom of God is, in the here and now. God's kingdom, it's in me, it's in you, it's in us, it's in those first disciples, it's in Jesus. That God's kingdom isn't just yet to come. God's kingdom is here, now, wherever we are, wherever we go, because Jesus goes with us through his Holy Spirit.